Long, long ago, there was a man lived by the name of Noah. And the recorded word of God has this to say about him by faith. In other words, just God told him something. Didn't give him any evidence to back it up. He had to take it or leave it with nothing on earth except God said it so. Wasn't a sign that what God was saying would come to pass by faith. Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, move of fear. You ran scared. Scared. It scared him. How much longer is the merciful God going to withhold his judgment? People like you and me, who dare to handle things of time and eternity, this generation of men whose eyes there's no fear of God, no belief that what God says is so. You and I run around here giving half-hearted, lackadaisical, on-again, off-again, Flanagan lip service to things that are as deep as the heart of God, and that call forth the agony of blood-stained Christ on Golgotha's hill. Oh God, in this sent Sunday morning disgrace, I wonder why God don't kill 3/4 of the Sunday morning congregations of In for Hell America that dare to make out like they believe a few of the things of the Word of God, and then by their actions are devout enemies of the cross of Christ and the souls of men. God, do something with us this morning.
Amen.
This man was warned of God of things not yet seen. Judgment. 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 I tell you, it's tremendous responsibility to dare to claim to be a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, who took this thing pretty seriously. He of whom he could say of himself, no man taketh my life from me, I lay it down. Must have been something urgent in his heart. God help us. Who claimed to have been mastered and conquered by him. All that urgency is about gone. Noah being warned of God of things not yet seen. Move with fear. And prepared an ark. And by it he condemned the world. He drew a straight line. On this side is safety. On this side is justice. Nobody believed. But he moved with fear. I read in the scriptures of another man who must have soaked his soul somewhat. In this passage I've just read you, man is able after 3 years of ministering, getting everybody he can, going from house to house, teaching the things of Jesus Christ in the city of Ephesus, until the gospel was preached and made known in all the regions thereabout. And when he called the elders of that congregation in Ephesus to come to Miletus, he's going to say, I'm not going to ever see you again in the flesh. You shall see my face no more. I'm going to tell you goodbye. And he could say, I take you to record this day that I'm pure from the blood of all. He said, I want you to remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone, night and day, with tears. This fellow must have been excited. There must have been a tremendous urgency about what he's talking about, warning people. Not placating people. Not giving people a shot in the arm, but warning men and doing it with a broken heart.
Amen.
Oh, they must have soaked, he must have soaked his soul in this classic passage, Son of Man, I have made thee. You didn't run for the office. I have made thee a watchman under the house of Israel. Yes, since I went to a little town in Alabama for meetings and was started on Sunday morning, it was the typical First Baptist church of an average size, one church town, 5,000-6,000 people. Everything in town that was anybody was a member, but it didn't affect the way they lived. And after we'd had the service, I went back looking for my hat. I thought I'd left it in the office, and I started to open the church pastor's office, and I heard a man in there sobbing his heart out. And the dear pastor's not shaking hands with the people. He'd run back to his study after the service, and I could hear him say, "Oh, God, I'm so tired. I don't believe I can stand it any longer. Oh, God, I'm so tired. I'm so tired of all of this plague at dealing with eternal things. God," he said, "break my old heart and do something with us." Oh, this preacher who speaks to you this morning, the one thing that above everything must be a heartbreaking thing even to Almighty God, if he's not a monster, is the Sunday morning worship to hell with God for the rest of the week. No testimony, no witness, no tears. You call it salvation, which was purchased at the agonizing cost of the life laid down of the eternal Son of God. Oh, my soul. If I had the power, I would scream against anybody running around, myself included, daring to claim to be a trophy of God's grace and denying that he's been made a watchman on the wall, living in a generation where nobody believes in things to come, trying to warn men with terror. Things not yet seen, but they're coming because God said it. It's something to dare to stand in Christ's place in any given generation and believe. And on the top, we ought not to be hypocrites. If we don't believe it, we ought to be honest enough to say so. And go on to hell and not try to take the church of Jesus Christ to hell with us. It's a tremendous thing to be made a watchman. He said, "Son of man, I've made you a watchman." I'm not appealing in the first part of my message this morning to church people. I'm appealing to people whom God has gripped and made you something. Even my Lord, Brother Pastor, didn't run for office. He was appointed. I'm not talking to you folks who accepted Jesus, your personal Savior, and going on to hell. I'm not talking to you people that had a little female. I'm talking to you people, not respectable, nice little people. I'm talking to people who've been laid hold of, arrested by, and under God conquered by the God of all grace, until when you stand up, there's some reality in the throb of your voice when you say, "I don't belong to myself. I've been bought with a price." I want to challenge you afresh in this day of churchianity that's damning this generation. In this day of nobody warning anybody of nothing, as the boy said. Oh, my God. I challenge you with the fact that if you're a Christian, there's a part of that blanket in warning this generation that if you don't tote, it won't be tote. Right. I'm so sick and tired of saying nice things about us preachers and church members who are so willing to let this generation go to hell absolutely unwarned. I wish I knew how to take a knife and cut that old religious flesh of yours and mine until this service could be turned into a giant moan of venture confession that we'd rather have our luxuries and necessities of life if this world went to hell than to pay the price that gives us some reason to believe we're children of God. Of nailing ourselves to the altar of utter commitment and staying there till Christ blows the 5 o'clock whistle. A woman came to me, Sister Benji, and said, I want you to pray for me. Said, somehow or another, I'm getting cold or indifferent. Seemed like I need to go back to the altar. And I said, how'd you ever get off of it? My God, these little old pious infidel church members all the time saying the need to get back. The Old Testament knows nothing about this altar business. Taking those steel hooks and clamping yourself to the altar of sacrifice and staying there until God calls you home. Fully on this little old stuff. Fully on. Listen to me. If you've been made a watchman, I'm after you this morning. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth. Don't sink it up. Pass it on for me. And give this generation warning, not what you think about, but just be a vessel and ask God to open your mouth that you may speak with authority and pass on God's warning to this infidel generation. Pass it on for me. And make no apologies for it. It's from Almighty God and it's soaked in the agony of his soul and the brine of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pass it on! Pass it on. Well, what you want me to tell them? Well, tell them this. That when I say, when God says, nobody believes this. Church members don't believe it. Preachers don't believe it. On the God says, you go out there and see that when God says, unto the wicked thou shalt surely die. That's God's pronouncement. Amen. You do not give him warning. You don't give him warning. You're trying to build up a big church or have 1,700 in Sunday school or give a big budget to be known for your missionary zeal or your doctrinal position. Everything under the shining sun. Except being nailed to the altar of self-sacrifice, which is Christianity, and just being mouthpieces to pass on to this generation that hadn't thought of God in 30 years. Amen. God's warning. And just say, God says, when thou, you're wicked, you're going to die. And say, if you don't warn him, he'll die anyhow. But here's something I can't explain. That I'll require his blood at thy hand. Not if you didn't win him. Whew. We went out for a little ride yesterday. Y'all were all having a big wedding. We went down to this something, this Pasadena something, and I sat out there in that air conditioning. And Brother Bubba said I'd do it persecution a little bit. My wife went in, fingered all the dresses and pieces. She wasn't going to buy nothing, but she likes to look at them. Just a little relaxation. You won't get a burden for sin. Just go stand on the street corner. Just go to church on Sunday morning. Or just go and sit in a public place and watch the lawless, the hell with God attitude. You can see the smoke of the hell with God blowing from the nostrils of this generation of people. God or no God, Bible or no Bible, fire on God! Fire on God! That'll give you a burden, brother. To warn them! And the cry of the heart of every child of God. Oh God, in this day when the door is being closed on what I'm talking about, every day, God help us to do everything we can. Together! To get the blood of men and women off our hands. We're to warn them. Can't win them, but God help us to warn them. Oh, no, as far as I can see, he never had a convert. His family got them in. Preached 120 years, but he warned them. He warned them. Oh, what kind of people to warn people? Only people who actually can join Noah in believing the truth of God about things as yet not seen.
Amen. that doesn't grip your soul, and you should try to warn anybody. You don't know, you don't think they're in any danger. The average church member, I would not sin against God. The principle of giving not holy things to dogs and casting pearl before swine. I wouldn't waste my time trying to get the average church member to serve God. He don't know him. He hates him. He's never been gripped by the power of God. He don't believe the Bible. Why, my soul, this world's in bad enough shape without getting you out the butcher. But I would encourage, and I would skin, and I would cut, and I would challenge, and I would castigate, do anything else to encourage men and women in this awful faith. Whoso has been gripped with the power and grace of God, and who do believe by God's grace, that is supported unto men once to die, and after that the judgment, and believe that in spite of you can't see any signs of it. Believe it in spite of the fact that nobody else does. And go out with a red lantern and wave at that danger ahead. Men and women, in the name of your soul, stop your mad rush to meet God at the judgment. Oh, but can't win them, but I must warn them of the judgment to come.
Amen.
The same person says to me, I never shall forget. I hear these nice little so-called, said, I want Jesus to come so bad. Oh, I'm looking for Jesus to come. Oh, I just want him to come. Honey, if you thought he's fixing to come, he'd have to get on a lad pony to catch you. You'd run so fast. Because when he comes, he's coming as a refiner's fire.
Amen.
And I ain't so anxious to meet him. Because I'm telling you that God's truth. I got a lot of blood. Oh, no, I ain't preaching now, honey. I'm telling the truth. My God, it's the people I had an opportunity to warn, and I didn't take it. Huh? I remember in the tail end of the Depression, in the little town of Electra, Texas. It's out west Texas somewhere. Little town about 7,000-8,000 people. In the tail end of the Depression, everybody broke. They set up 2,600 seats in the schoolhouse yard, put up some lights, no tent, no nothing. All the churches asked me, and I came with preaching. And I was a big preacher in those days. I was in controversy about things weren't worth fighting over. I decided, because I was such a big preacher, I'd get me one real crowd. Folks didn't have money enough to go to picture show, or never had for the day of television, when everybody had a boat and lived like kings and everything else. It was poor back those days. You know, don't you? The rest of you young folks, you're nothing bad, but it was some dollars hard to come by. And that's a good time to have a meeting. Folks didn't have nowhere else to go, you know. Didn't have any air conditioning in the house, nowhere else. More comfortable out there. Man, they just come from that way. But I said I'd have me a real crowd, brother, so I could report it, you know. And so I announced that on such and such a night I'm going to preach on such and such a subject. And it was a stem wonder. And they said I had over 7,000 people there. They came. And, of course, the folks I was preaching about weren't there. And I had a lot of liberty. And if I didn't give them, I really went to town. I straightened out Southern Baptist Convention and everything else. Didn't stay straightened out very long. And trouble poor Brother Barnes is I just as sincere and ignorant and dumb as I could be. For a little woman walked 3 miles, carried a child in her arms, two little toddlers along with her. Walked 3 miles, those little toddlers, to hear me preach that night. Of course, being such a big preacher and having a big subject, you know, and wise and sending the Holy Spirit. And I preached my big sermon. She went home. Sometime during the night, she covered up the little babies and went in the bathroom and got a razor that her husband had abandoned and left when he'd abandoned her and her 3 children. That day, she'd come to the end of her resources. Didn't have a dime, a piece of bread, nothing. She didn't come up to the meeting to ask for a handout. She came and went and said nothing. But I wondered a million times what was in her breast as she walked that 3 miles with those 3 children. Hear this big preacher preach. I didn't have anything to say. I'd quit my job. And she went into that bathroom, took a razor,
They found her the next morning, heard the little children crying for hunger. So their neck completely severed. And I've got to meet her at the judgment. She'll be there. She'll be there. She'll be 1.5 feet high.
That's right.
I ain't so anxious to face her. And before she's cast into hell, how do I know? She point a finger at me.
Yeah.
Said, I went and asked for bread. I got a stone.
Yeah.
Now, Brother Jackson, I'm going to let you straighten out the convention and everything else now. I tell you the God's truth, I walked the floor for 3 days and nights, and I ain't never got over it yet. I had a chance to warn that woman of the only thing I know that really counts. That's what's out yonder. And I didn't do it. And I didn't point her with any power. We assume that people think they need Jesus, but they don't. I'm going to have to give an account. God's going to require the blood of that little woman. Now, Brother Jackson, won't you come up here? Come on, come on. I'll tell you, get your fist and double it up.
Oh, look through here. That's all I see blood on.
That's right.
Okay. Now, you graduated Southwestern Seminary. Didn't learn nothing about the gospel. You taught them. East Texas Bible School, butchered soul. Whew, I didn't see that, but you in an awful shape.
That's right. And I'm glad it's all. But he said, I require their blood! That kind of thing. Isn't that all?
That's right.
Isn't that all? Hey, what's that? That's off. You know.
That's right.
Huh?
That's right.
It's prayer meeting time, folks. I can't undo that fact, but I got all the blood on my hands, honey. This blood, but I want you to stand up there. You put a nice sort of a fat, well-fed, so-called Christian. I want you to look at those hands here. Your Sunday school student down there. God help you. I see blood on your hands. Mr. Taylor, I'm going to pick you out just as representative of the board of counselors around here. Stand up, son. Well, you will. Mr. Taylor. Stand up there. I want you to look at your hands. You represent the, what is, you've got 10, 12 men here that have some of them. I want you to look at your hands until you'll join old Jeremiah sitting on that stump, weeping. God bless you. God bless Sunday school teacher. Woo! How much blood we've got on us. Members of any local congregation that you even dare to claim. And be one representative of him who says of his people that we are to be ambassadors standing in Christ's stead, pleading with men and women to be reconciled to God. Oh, I wish I had the power to cut my heart and Charlie Jackson's heart and Brother Lunson's heart and all you counselors, all you Sunday school teachers, and all you delightful choir singers, Brother C. O. Jackson Jr. and the whole shooting match of us. And then God, we could sound the alarm one more time in this generation. Somebody see, that folks are scared. Those folks believe it. Under God, they think I'm in danger. What kind of folks are we to war? Not nice people, but wicked people.
Right.
When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die. The wicked, not the unfortunate. Hell's not going to be made up of folks who are unfortunate. Hell's be made up of folks who are wicked.
Right.
Hell's not going to be full of folks that are not to blame. Men of light, but to put their own eyes out. Men's will is so under sin, but that did it with their eyes wide open. Men are in the ditch of corruption, but they walked in it of their own will. Men are bound by the cords of sin, but they have to tie the knots themselves. Men are rebels, they're wicked, they're lawbreakers, they're God-haters. That's the kind of people folks are. We don't warn people like that. What are you going to tell them? Tell them what God says. And I say,
thou shalt surely die. Thou shalt surely die. Of what ought we to warn people? Well, get your sharp hook, brother. Just one thing. Every person, and you're the only people I can warn right now, best I know how. Every person hearing my voice now, there's one thing dead certain is going to take place. There's one thing dead certain. You've got to meet God Almighty at the judgment. I know that's so. I know it, Brother Barnes. Well, maybe I've got to say I hope it's so. But as far as I'm concerned, it's settled with me. You tell me about a little namby-pamby God that wouldn't finally deal with the awful rebellion against his son. I couldn't believe in that kind of God. I'm telling you, it's appointed unto man once to die. After that, the judgment. I'm almost beside myself sometimes because I can't. I haven't got sense enough, heart enough to say what I'm going to try to say now. I think they got used an illustration. Some years ago, not long ago, Adolf Eichmann, the man who was Hitler's lieutenant, took 6 million Jews, burned them, and used their bodies to make soap for the Nazi army. He was apprehended over, and Israel, he being a Jew, the little nation of Israel, demanded the right to try. A Christian brother gained access to his cell after he'd been tried and committed to death. This Christian tried to witness to him. Maybe you've read what happened inside that cell. Mr. Eichmann said, "I do not need a mediator." He said, "It's all right between me and my God. Tonight, I'm not trying to get you to come back, but tonight I'm going to try to preach on which God do you know? It's a vital thing." Mr. Eichmann said he was right with his God. This man pressed the Lord Jesus Christ upon him. Mr. Eichmann said, "No, I don't need him. I'll make it all right. But Brother Barden couldn't make it. Not with the God I believe is the only true God. I wish I knew how in this closing moment. I wish I didn't have all these microphones and all this food. And I knew who you were. And the Lord wouldn't get mad at me. I wish I'd come back there and sit down with you and just camp there until you'd be afraid to have to meet God's holiness and have those eyes that burn into the very soul. That one that sits on the throne, and he's the same one that hung on a cross. I wish I could sit there by you youngsters and you boys and you men and women until you'd scream inside, 'Is there any way I can avoid meeting a holy God in judgment in my own strength?' Until this generation, some of them at least, believe that there's a judgment and the consequences of that eternal judgment are the horrors of the anger and vengeance of God against rebellion and sin, and that's hell. And you wouldn't be so anxious. Take your little self-righteousness and your little profession of faith and little things that happen to you once in a while make you feel a little better. You'd get dead nice and you'd become a candidate for some assurance from all him alone who can give it, that Jesus Christ is actually actually done for you what has to be done, or you'll have to deal with God's holy law. Not the opinions of men, but the holy law of God. In your own strength. I know I'm making a failure of this, but this is so serious. It's so serious. Young man, they got caskets down here, just fit you. Young lady, the undertaker's got caskets to fit you.
Right.
It's upon that a man wants to die. Well, that's not so bad. But after that, the judgment. Oh, you're going to face it without the one mediator between God and man. Are you going to let anybody on God's earth convince you that you're all right unless you're absolutely latched on to, married to, and united to the one mediator that can stand between a holy God and sinful men and do something that will enable that holy God to do have fellowship with that sinful man. I realize. Now, the boy who claimed he got saved, he tried to witness to his buddy. But he had a hard time, but says, now, he said, then you talk to me. He said, that Bible, there's nothing to that. Nothing to that. He said, you can't go by that Bible. Said, he's smart. He said, I tell you lots of things in that Bible that just contradict him, says the young fellow. You know. Hard to deal with a fellow like that. And the poor little old Christian boy, he didn't know anything cabbage about theology or nothing else, but he said, well, I tell you, I believe you're wrong. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. And the boy said, well, he said, that preacher's talking about going to hell. He said, that's silly. Said, he's trying to scare me. He said, isn't it hell? Isn't it hell? Well, the Christian boy said, I believe you're wrong. And finally, the unsaved boy, he got real bold. And he said, this God business. And I said, I ain't never found anybody to prove to me there's a God. And to be honest with you, he's telling the truth. I don't know how you go about proving this. And that's how it happened. At 10 o'clock the next morning, Monday morning,
that young fellow was up in the top of an oil well rig, way up there. Something's wrong with it. They're working. They closed it down and put a cap on the thing. And they closed it down. He's up there working way up high. You know what I'm talking about. Got him around here. And something happened. Tom Alford was the boss of the gang, or whatever you call it. My son. Couldn't happen. They had an investigation later and found out it couldn't happen. But it did. Just like that. That cap was blown off. The gas had accumulated something. I don't know enough about these things. But Tom Alford, I saw it. Without any warning. That we put a cap on that well, and it exploded, and fire belched up out of the mouth of that well. Those flames of burning gas enveloped that rig just like that. And it was so terrific in that force that that boy lodged up there was dislodged, and he came plunging down that rig. Tom Alford said, I heard him say before he plunged to his death, oh God! But that's all he could say. Ladies and gentlemen, under God, this generation don't believe in hell, don't believe in the Bible, don't believe in the cross, don't believe in anything that's high and holy. They're headed, and nobody knows when the cap's going to blow off and the patience of God's going to come to an end. And the only thing men will have is about a split second. And I don't want to wait that long.
Right.
Get under the blood.
Right.
I believe that boy met God. The God he said nobody could prove. God who gave us this book.
Amen.
God who turned it back on his son in the agony of Calvary. I believe he met God. And God Almighty judged him.
Yes.
And I believe he's in a fire right now.
Amen.
10 million times worse than the fire of that oil well.
Amen.
Oh, God help me. I'm awful heavy right now. I'm awful ashamed of myself. I wish unto God
I could have done a better job. I wish I could lock these doors, keep you in jail, or you quit playing mumble peg with your eternal soul. I long to hear somebody wants to get right with God. I mean, wants to be under the blood. Wants to be secure in Him. I don't know whether there's any safety except in Him. I don't. God help you. Our Father, have mercy on us right now. My soul, have mercy. Lord, do something about this, sir, in spite of my weakness. And cut hearts. And may it, sure enough, be so. That for many, when the judgment day comes, this service will be brought before them. And the decisions they make and the response they make will meet them when men meet God. I want somebody, God, to say, Lord, God, I bought that fella. I stand for him. I took his place on the glory tree. I want him to stand for me when I meet God. Lord, speak to us right now. For bloodstained Jesus' sake. There are those of you who came and you've been watching and attending this service. You believe this is the place for the local church that you want to invest yourself 100%. Not go along for the ride, but find a place to join hands with brothers like faith and try to help this congregation measure up to the responsibility God requires of them. I want you to come right quickly, asking this church to receive you. Those of you who have been able to embrace my blessed Lord, you ought to come asking for baptism. I want you to come. Somebody's been able to close with God's Son. The work's been done. You're under the blood. You want to make public profession of that. We invite you to come. Somebody trembling. You say, preacher, I need help. But anybody pray with me, talk to me. We can't help you much. We do the best we could. I want you to come if you can. Let us stand together and sing, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. Hear my humble prayer. I want any of you who ought to come now to do it right quickly. May God solemnize this moment of invitation while this now becomes your opportunity.